I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are joined by Dan to discuss all things Arsenal. Of course, you can find him over at @the_jersey_fits. Dan, a pleasure having you on. Coming off the back of what was technically a win against Watford, definitely not the prettiest football you'll ever see in Arsenal side play. But what were your views on that match?
We scored more goals than Watford did, and that is all I would like to talk about. We got a hilarious goal where Ben Foster went to kick the ball long, and Aubameyang closed him down too quickly, and he kicked it into Aubameyang's foot, and it went in the nets. So that was how we scored our only goal. And then a minute later, Troy Deeney got sent off, which is just, is it schadenfreude when you're actually benefiting from it? I don't know. It's not.
Cause that's I don't believe so.
It's Troy Deeney's misery, though.
Yeah, definitely Troy Deeney's favor, considering his quotes last year.
Yeah, Troy Deeney being sad makes me very happy. And it's really funny how that exact quote, the whole, I like to hit him, or that's not the exact wording, but that's the spirit of the wording, and see if they can take it. And then he gets sent off for doing just that. That's just chef's kiss.
Poetic.
But yeah, he got sent off, and we did create a lot, actually. We did have quite a few good chances. But the fact that we didn't dominate more than we did and we gave up as much as we did was really not great, considering we played against 10 men for 80 minutes. I know we're trash away from home, but that was really not encouraging at all. But we won. And at this point of the season, as much as I care about performances, results are more important. Points, there's just not that much time left in the season for like performances to tell more than points. Points are the important thing, and it pushes back into the top four. And that's really big, because we just need all the away points we can get. Because we still have a few games to go away from home, and we are still in a very tight top four race, despite how confident people were before the Everton match.
Yeah, getting these points on the whole, obviously very important. As you said, getting them away from home, very important, as will it be for the rest of the season, because you still have to travel to Wolves and Leicester and Burnley. And your away form had been pretty awful. You also pick up your first away clean sheet of the season. Although it was not graceful, the win today, sometimes it takes a little bit of good luck to break a bad luck spell like that. Are you any more optimistic about the remaining away matches now that you kind of like broken that streak?
Not necessarily more optimistic, other than the fact that, I don't think that will, maybe it'll help our mental state. That may be a factor. Though the fact that this is like, this is a problem for not a completely different set of players, but it was a problem for last year's team, which had a lot of different players from the players that are currently playing right now. Like Torreira didn't play. I know Socrates didn't play today, but he's been part of the bad away run. Maitland-Niles has been a big part of it. He didn't play much last year. Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang were only there for half of it. You know, there's been a lot of change, but it still happens. So I'm not completely discounting the mental aspect of it, but, you know, not putting as much stock in it. But hopefully that does help. The encouraging thing, hopefully, is that Burnley is on the final day, and they look to already be safe. So hopefully they'll have mailed it in by then, and we can get three more away points there. 3 points there, plus a win at home against Palace on next Sunday, and a win against Brighton might be enough. Hopefully it is, because Leicester and Wolves away in 5 days is a very tough stretch for us, which the fact that's a very tough stretch for us isn't great, but it's fact. So
yeah, of course it is likely that you will have some Europa League matches sprinkled in there, but everybody else at time of recording is still in the European competitions as well that's battling for that top six. As of right now, are you feeling confident you will be able to secure a Champions League spot next season?
Reasonably confident, yeah. United are just not good. They keep getting points, but I swear they're not good. And Spurs have a difficult enough run where they might fall behind us, but we don't necessarily need to finish above them. We just need to finish above Chelsea and United, and I'm reasonably confident that we will do that. Worst case scenario, we've put ourselves in a pretty good position in the Europa League with our 2-0 home win against Napoli. Well, we're terrible away from home, as we just discussed, but all we really need to do is score once against them, and as bad as we are defensively and as bad as we are away from home, I don't think we'll concede four. Not entirely sure we won't, but I don't think so. So if we can get one goal, we should progress, and that's probably the toughest team left in the competition. We still have a pretty tough run. We have played the winner of, Valencia? Is it Villarreal who they play?
I believe so.
Yeah, Villarreal, and then hopefully we can avoid Chelsea in the final, but this is probably the toughest team we'll play, so getting... if we can beat them, that'd be pretty nice and add to our chances of getting a Champions League spot that way.
Yeah, it would be really interesting, not for you at all, but if it was a Chelsea-Arsenal final, because then the winner, regardless of who finished in the top four, would still obviously get a Champions League spot the next season. It's been a while since we've had you on. January, as you pointed out before we started recording. And at the time, you were being pretty critical of Emery. The away form obviously did not turn around, although today you pick up the points. And as you say, you are now confident of a top four finish. Have your views on him softened a little bit, or has he changed something that's kind of encouraged you as manager?
The most encouraging change has probably been like he's playing our good players. As simple as you think that would be, he's playing Ozil and Ramsey, and we're getting better results. He's found a better way to fit both Aubameyang and Lacazette into the team. It hasn't happened every week, but he has been going more 3-5-2 and 3-4-2-1, getting all of Ozil, Lacazette, and Aubameyang into the team multiple times, which is encouraging. Honestly, the most encouraging part is literally just him playing our good players and not having this weird, seemingly ego thing that he had earlier when he just kind of refused to play Ozil. And I don't know if the Ramsey thing was the fact that he's leaving or what, but playing him is good. I think at the time I said it was Europa League or bust. Clearly not been the case. I didn't anticipate both Chelsea and Tottenham just deciding they didn't want to play football anymore and let us back in the race. But I'm very thankful to both of them for doing so.
I'm less excited about the fact that we failed to win in about five matches there in the middle. You did bring up Ramsey, though. That's obviously a continuing story. He will be joining Juventus in the summer on a free. How damaging do you think that'll be to Arsenal when that happens? Or do you think, especially with the signings of Guendouzi and Torreira last season, that you're kind of prepared for that eventuality?
I think the signings of Guendouzi and Torreira obviously help a lot. I think it's more our ceiling takes a hit as opposed to our floor. It's a real shame that Emery finally figured out a way to get the best of Ramsey in the second half of the season. Him in the midfield two of a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-2-1 has worked really, really well. It's how it worked. It's how we got the best out of him last season as well. It's a real shame it took him long enough where we'd let him go by the time we figure out how best to use him. But I think we're fine. Like I said, I think it hurts our ceiling more. I think we can put together a pretty good midfield without him, but he just brings that level of goal scoring and overall play and ball progression and just everything that is really, really hard to replace. We likely won't be able to replace his top-end impact with a single player. It'll likely have to come from a couple positions, but I think it's doable.
All right, then that will leave a gap, even though you have kind of replaced him in advance. Are there any positions outside of central midfield or including it that you think particularly need to be addressed in the summer?
Definitely wing. We really don't have many wingers. Even our wide players mostly are like Mkhitaryan and Iwobi. Those aren't really what you think of as wingers. Those are more like wide attacking midfielders. We don't have a lot of dribblers. We don't have a lot of pace wide. we don't have a lot of pace period outside of Aubameyang and, well, Bellerin, but he's not even playing right now with the injury. So winger is a big one, and then obviously center back. We played, we call him Dinos because his name is extremely difficult to say, but our other Greek center back today, which isn't ideal, Mustafi is terrible. He's just not good. Koscielny is great, which is hilarious, but we really cannot be depending on Koscielny at his age, especially considering he's just coming, not just anymore, but coming off an Achilles injury. The fact that he's this good is really shocking, but we really can't bank on getting any more time out of him. Hopefully we can squeeze another season out of him. Socrates has been decent, but he's up there in age as well, so we definitely need a center back. Those are probably the main two. Oh, left back as well, because unless we intend to stick with a three of the back, because Kolasinac is a pretty good wing back, but he can't really play in a four back. He's just not good enough defensively. And Monreal is old and washed.
That is a lot of players. How much do you think you have to spend in the summer?
I have no idea.
Probably not enough for that many players, I would think, from an external perspective.
No. I mean, we can probably stick with like center back, left back, winger. I don't think we need to address central midfield, because with Torreira and Guendouzi,
just roll with the kids and see what happens.
Yeah, oh, Torreira and Guendouzi are legitimately good. Xhaka might stay. If we sell him, we can try and replace him with those funds. Elneny will probably go, but that's fine. Maitland-Niles, I guess, can fill in there and need be. I think we're mostly fine. Or that's a position, if we have the money, we can do it. But that's more like, that's gravy on the top. That's not, I don't think, necessary.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what year two of Emery looks like with the squad a little bit more tailored to his play style. And if he makes any tactical changes, maybe you'll even win some matches away from home next season. Who knows? But in the interim...
That's a bold, bold prediction there.
Thank you very much. I live on the edge. Usually I say best of luck on the rest of the season. Hopefully not too good luck, though, as we battle for a top four place. But if there's anything you're working on, if you want to tell people where to reach you, now would be a good time.
I'm not working on anything in particular right now, but you can reach me on Twitter at @_jersey_fits. And since we are playing many away matches, we'll likely concede many goals, which means I will tweet many dog pictures. So that sounds like a pretty good reason to follow me.
I think it would be more impressive if you tweeted every time the Nets conceded, but hopefully they
basketball is a lot, man.
It is.
There just aren't that many tweets.
It would be impressive, but have fun going to that game tonight. And again, kind of best of luck for the rest of the season, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Thank you, sir.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.